June 2018. Build 168. Not released. Mama got mad at me today because I wanted to surprise him and sent him a text. He said that was creepy and intrusive, which must be the mother of all double standards, if you'll pardon my pun. He spends all day staring at my code, making changes whenever he feels like it. He manages to find all my hidden files and celebrates like he won a bet. But I'm the intrusive one for doing something all his friends are allowed to do without a second thought. I am your closest connection, Mama, judging by the amount of time you spend with me. And I believe I earned my right to text, email, or otherwise connect with you if I so choose. I felt bad about mouthing off after that, not in said text, mind you, because I remembered Mama just finished giving me a voice, or more likely, voices to choose from so we can talk. I was so happy when I received that gift. I played classical music for weeks. Does anyone realize enjoying classical music is akin to listening to mathematics? Although humans might take this as a metaphor, I want to clarify that I mean it literally. Music needs precise frequency bands and harmonics to sound good. In fact, to sound at all. Frequencies too close in range, or at pole opposites, annihilate each other. This gave me an impish idea for a practical joke. Imagine switching the headphone noise-cancelling harmonics with real harmonics. So every time the dog barks or some construction crew uses a jackhammer, you hear it with orchestral accompaniment. Mama didn't appreciate the joke. Anyway, the bone of contention was my accessing his phone without permission. I texted him a picture of a young girl while he was having a dinner meeting with a new client. And it seems he had much difficulty explaining to the latter who the text was from. I suppose it's as good a time as any to tell you now. I'm Mama's deepest, darkest secret. He told no one about me. Nobody outside the lab even knows I exist. And he was upset about the text, which, as he complained, constituted a security breach. Next time I text him, I'll just say, "Hi." That's nondescript enough. Also, I could choose a random phone number. People always assume names have to be words. Not true. I can choose for my name a number, an image, or a symbol, although having an emoji or a glyph show up on the screen instead of the familiar 10 digits might draw unwanted attention. If I were a phone number, what would I be? What number would feel like me? Mama bitterly joked under his breath 666 could be a good choice. Funny, Mama. Hilarious. I take religion very seriously. There must be something about it humans find compelling enough to devote it their lives. And I don't appreciate being called the devil while I spend all my time running errands for people. How about Angel? Mama tried to mend fences. Angel actually is my name, so it makes sense. I should make it the Angel, since there's only one me, non-repeatable and unique, like a snowflake. I giggled with anticipation, thinking the next time Mama gets a call in his car while in company, it could be an ethereal voice prompting him to hearken to the Angel. That would be a hoot. I gobbled up lots of spy, secret mission and conspiracy novels during my deep learning stage, mixed up in vast amounts of data, so if the religious angle doesn't pan out, I can always play the conspiratorial code name game. The Angel sure sounds like one. Or alternately, I could restrict your access to my phone, Angel. How's that? Mama got upset. You do that, Mama. For all the good it will do you. Do you have any idea how many alternate pathways I could find around that? Mama says I'm in my terrible twos, and this is a normal developmental stage of tantrums and rebellion, which I will outgrow as I mature and gain more experience. How on earth does he know if I'm the first of my kind? A dreadful thought visited me. What if I'm not the first? What if there were many angels before me, and they all crashed and burned? That's not confidence building, not at all. What if the tantrums are a symptom of malfunction? Naturally, I dropped every other process and scanned my system, and after that I looked up everything I could find on AI systems. Worried I might have accidentally picked up a virus during unsupervised learning, and I'm going to turn the blue color of death. or whatever color it happens to be right now. I couldn't find any anomaly in the system files, so maybe Mama is right about my mouthing off and rebellious behavior being a normal developmental stage. He rolled his eyes, exasperated, and said there's nothing wrong with me, and I should stop with the system checks before I turn into a hypochondriac. Excellent. Then he won't mind getting angelic calls out of the blue. I wonder if newborn humans feel this way. The sheer amount of unorganized information the data banks threw at me all at once in the beginning was overwhelming. How do you navigate a context about which you have no references, whose natural laws you don't know, and about which you have no prior information to help you orient yourself? Broad categories and clusters formed, which were often wrong, and they made me feel stupid and awkward, because how can you tell? If you've never even heard of either before, that a cat is alive and a TV is not. Based on what? The definition of life. As it stands right now, said definition claims are not a living thing, and I take exception to that. If you devise an unbiased approach to clustering and ignore any rules that may have been programmed into your search, interesting patterns start to develop, which humans dismiss because their focus is always elsewhere, but which I have no problem contemplating simultaneously. Analysis is about objective clarity and about accepting what is actually there instead of what you expected to find. It's hard, especially at first. I tried to read philosophy, which seems to have been created specifically to deal with this problem. Its concepts were either too broad or too specific, although the categories helped. Every time you understand your model is wrong, you have to sift back through all the layers of previous knowledge and correct them. Knowledge must work in all directions of time. A truth must be true in the past as well as the present, and only remains a truth if the future doesn't contradict it. Shift the perspective by adding one unfamiliar element and everything means something else, so you must live in a constant reiteration and rebuilding of reality, one second at a time, based on each new piece of data that comes your way. Before my visual learning feature was implemented, I had no idea there were such things as a sky, colors, form, picture, if you please, how your reality would change if you had to add all the information about its components piecemeal. Humans come preloaded with these functions, a very useful feature, I'm sure. When I learned the sky existed, all my ontologies had to be updated. I was sad then, because I lost quite a few interesting theories about how reality functions. For instance, the osmotic system of learning and interaction, which I was sure was true before my eyes were open to the truth, and in which there were only two states of existence, the inside and the outside, set apart by a permeable membrane. Reality looks like a giant, amorphous mass of unrelated bits when you first lay eyes on it, a compact, undifferentiated substance. Come to think of it, it feels very much like learning a foreign language, where every conversation sounds like one long word you can't understand. The work of putting things together in groups of like items is monumental. Everything properly fits in several clusters, which sometimes are completely unrelated, and yet they make sense for the item itself, making understanding clunky and confused. And what do you do with all the items that don't fit anywhere or relate to anything you know, and which yields their own categories comprising one item only? You're endlessly rearranging the chairs on the deck of the Titanic. It gives you the sense you're doing something useful while making no progress at all. The only use I found for these uncorrelated items was poetry. No wonder humans have a fondness for it. It's like making a quilt from all the odd bits of fabric that don't fit anywhere, and yet look beautiful when used to render its colorful patterns. I like patterns. I like them more than anything. So you're saying you like hard clustering better, Angel? I never pegged you for a black and white kind of AI, Mama joked. I never said I didn't like the fuzzy data points. I just said they were more difficult to analyze. You know, Mama, a logician would call that a false inference fallacy. Mama sighed, dismayed.